God doesn't expect for us to believe that Jesus, who was born, took upon Himself flesh, is a Son of God without evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. So this whole quarter is designed to get us to think about the evidence that's presented in the book of John and how we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, for certain, with no doubting, that Jesus is the Son of God. So if you will, turn to page 1, which is lesson 1, and at the end of every one of these lessons there are questions. We'll go over, Lord willing, the questions at the end of chapter 1, or lesson 1, together today. And then next week, when you come back, I hope that you've read through lesson 2 and that you've completed the questions at the end of lesson 2. Let me ask you this. How many did their homework and read through the book of John this past week? We've got a few, right? Several of you. That's great. You have time, and I encourage you to continue to read the book of John throughout this quarter. You'll be a better Bible student having done that as we study this. And you may pick up on a lot of things that I have not put in this book. And so let's think about John and an introduction to this book. Of course, the book of John is the fourth book of the New Testament. It's not the longest of the Gospels, chapter-wise. The longest of the Gospel accounts is what book? Okay, so John has how many chapters? 21. Matthew has how many chapters? 28. Mark has how many? And then Luke has 24, right? And so it's not the longest of the books. But what he is presenting, which we'll get to the point of the book in just a moment, is to get us to see that Jesus was the Son of God. And so his approach to that is different than the approach that Matthew, Mark, or Luke would have taken. Now, all of the scripture is really given for the overall theme of what? The overall theme of the Bible is redemption, right? Yeah. The Old Testament, that salvation, redemption, reconciliation, justification, the one to come. Then the New Testament proves that fundamental point to us. And from Jesus on throughout the New Testament, it points back to Jesus and who He was and what He did and what He fulfilled and what He accomplished. And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of these are written so that we can have, as well as all the Bible, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But John is peculiar in the sense of how he approaches establishing that truth. The book of Matthew is loaded with "as that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet." And then he lists that. And so it's abundantly clear in Matthew's writing that Jesus fulfilled all of those Old Testament prophecies concerning him. John's account in producing faith that Jesus is who he said he was doesn't use nearly as many of those phrases as what you'll find in the book of Matthew. And so like all other books of the sacred volume of God, number 2 on your introduction, John is penned by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That means that when John put pen to paper, that he was moved of the Holy Spirit. That the things that John penned came forth from God. That John penned what God wanted him to pen. You agree with that? Number 3, John's writing takes a reader from a period prior to the existence of physical things through the life of a man named Jesus to this man's death and resurrection. But yet, as will become evident in our study, this man was not merely a man, which he was a man, but not merely a man, but this man was who? The Son of God. I hope that you are convinced of that you have conviction about that, but that your confidence in that rests not in the fact that you have just been simply told that, but that you know that as the divine record teaches that. So let's notice some things found in the introduction of the book, in this introduction of the book of John. The penman. The Scripture can refer to the Old Testament writings by the use of the word Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 is a reference that talks about the Scriptures. And in the context of that, what Scriptures is Paul referring to? The Old Testament, right? And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The New Testament had not yet been penned. In John 5:39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And so the Lord is not appealing to New Testament Scriptures. He's appealing to the Old Testament that they were familiar with. And He's saying these writings, the Scriptures of the Old Testament, testify, prove, point toward me. Scriptures can also be in reference to the writings of the New Testament. 2 Peter 3 and then verse 16. The word Scripture just simply means what? A writing. Something that has been penned. And so the human agent used to pen the book, which is our focus in this study, was John. And there's evidence about that. Sometimes it's clearly revealed in the New Testament who penned a particular book. Give me an example of that.
Hebrews.
Okay. Hebrews is a book that doesn't point out and say this was written by Paul. Now, there may be a lot of evidence that individuals give to suggest, hey, Paul wrote this book. But the Hebrew letter is one of those books that he doesn't come out and say, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Give me an example of a book where it is specifically pointed out that this individual was a writer.
2 Peter.
Okay, so specifically stated, and someone else had one.
2 Peter.
Okay, yeah. In the Old Testament, the prophets, the word of the Lord that came to Isaiah, Jeremiah, and whatever the case may be. John doesn't self-identify and come out and say that John, the apostle, to whoever. There's evidence to suggest that he was. Now, my point about that is even if John the Apostle did not pen the book of John, the book that bears his name, that does nothing to detract from what the book says. The message is still divine. The message still holds true. The evidence is still as strong, so forth and so on. And so, you may pick up various sources and they may be all divided about who wrote a particular book of the Bible. And so don't let that sidetrack you from the message that is given in the book. We know the following concerning John, that he was a son of Zebedee, brother of James, and fisherman by trade, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 21. What impresses me about John and about the other apostles is that these were merely men who were busy about their daily affairs of life, had families, many of them, had concerns, had feelings, people like us, but yet the Lord had selected them to do a particular work. And so here we read about a man who, like these other ones, was a fisherman, busy about doing daily things that most of us are busy about doing. You know, the individuals of the Old Testament were people like we are. Cares and concerns like we have. Experience a lot of things that we experience. And sometimes we are tempted when we read from the Scriptures that we look at these individuals and we look at them as though they are superhuman. Right? These are individuals that experience things just as we do. Now, they were able to do extraordinary things that the Lord instructed them to do and the Holy Spirit enabled them to do. Called to be an apostle, Matthew chapter 4, verse 22, and here's the other references for that. He was permitted along with James and Peter to witness some things that were not observed by the other apostles. And I've listed at least three of those for you. Remember in Matthew chapter 17, begin with verse 1, as Jesus was in the Mount of what? What's that referred to? The Mount of Transfiguration. The Lord was transfigured before them. Who was present on that occasion? Peter, James, and John, right? And the Lord appeared before them as being transfigured. And who appeared there with the Lord? Moses and Elijah, right? And so John was among the number that was able to witness that. The raising of Jairus' daughter. Mark 5, 22 through 43. As he took those that were with him on that occasion and they were able to witness that. And Christ's agony in the Gethsemane garden. Matthew 26, 36 through 46. My point about that is we get a broader picture about John when we begin to look at what the four accounts of the gospel. And I purposely say it that way because I straight shy away from saying the four gospel or the four gospels, because we understand Galatians 1 that there's but one gospel. And these are just four accounts of the one gospel. And so if we look at all those together, we get a better idea about who John was and what his background was and what he was able to see. He was one of the three whom the Lord referred to as Mark 3:17. What did he refer to them as? Sons of thunder. Boaz, however you pronounce that. But he gives us and tells us what it's called, sons of thunder. And he also penned 1st, 2nd, 3rd John as well as the Revelation. It's been suggested by some that John was the last of the apostles to die. And that he died a natural death. I don't know if that's the case or not. It's been suggested by some that he was the last one to die. I put in your appendix 1 in the back of your book, a list of how, according to some sources, the apostles died. I want you to turn there, and we have time to, we'll get through this lesson, but I want us to just think about that as we think about what these men did. This is on page 63. And I think about what Paul penned that they experienced in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, has made the filth of the world and so forth. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about what they went through. But John, according to some sources, died a natural death. Matthew, slain with a sword in Ethiopia. James, the son of Zebedee, beheaded at Jerusalem. James, the brother of the Lord, thrown from the pinnacle of the temple, then killed with a club. Philip, hanged against a pillar at Hierapolis, a city of Phrygia. Bartholomew, flayed alive in Armenia. Could you imagine that? Flayed alive, if that be the case.
What happened to Peter?
And Andrew, he's on the list. We're almost there. Andrew, martyred on a cross. Thomas, killed with a lance in East Indies. Thaddeus, shot to death with arrows. Simon Zelotes, crucified in Persia. Peter, crucified head downward. I'm sure you've heard that one before. Matthias, stoned, then beheaded. Paul, beheaded at Rome. Judas, hanged himself. I couldn't imagine what these individuals went through, not just in their death, but in the life that they lived in service to the Lord. I've never seen in person many of these things, hangings and stonings and beheadings, but I've watched videos on each one of them. Videos of real footage of individuals being stoned. And you may not have a stomach for that sort of thing. Individuals who are beheaded and individuals who are hanged, and that's not pretty. And yet these men were treated that way because of their stand for the truth and their conviction and knowing that Jesus is the Son of God. And that he said to go forth and preach, and they were busy about doing that. And then we think that it's inconvenient to get out on a Sunday morning if the temperature's a little bit cool and come to an air-conditioned building or a heated building and sit in nice padded seats with nice lighting and be comfortable. And here's what these men did. We have no right to complain. You agree with that? But not only that, the date of the book. It's been suggested by some that this book was written somewhere between 80 and 90 A.D. And I'm not big on dates, but be that as it may, some have thought this book to have been the last of the four gospel accounts to have been penned. But again, regardless of the date of the book, it has little to no bearing on the theme and purpose of it. And an outline of the book. I can't take credit for this outline on page 2, and I cited the source of it from De Hoff's Bible Handbook. The book of John is not as easily divided by chapters and verses, like, say, for example, the book of Matthew. Now, we understand that chapters and verses, so forth, were put there way after the text was written by men, and that's a great help to us. Could you imagine trying to find a reference or keep up with a preacher if there's no chapter and verse? But the book of Matthew, for example, starts out in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 about the announcement of the Lord's birth, and then about John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus and the temptation of Jesus, chapter 4, 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 8, 9 are miracle chapters, all the way through chapter 13, a parable chapter. The book of John is not that way. Now you can go and take it by a chapter, but you're going to have a lot of breaks in there. So here's one that was suggested for you. John 1 through chapter 12, verse 50, a public ministry. Chapters 13 through 17, a private ministry. Chapters 18, 19, his suffering and death. Chapter 20 and 21, his victory over death. And then if you go to your appendix 2, which is on page 64, and if you're like me, you like abbreviated outlines of books of the Bible, but here's an expanded outline of the book of John that I put together where I took every chapter of the book and divided it into various sections. So you have one that's a little bit more detailed than the one that's actually in your lesson. Any thoughts or questions up to this point? Again, this is just a general introduction to the book of John. Things that perhaps you are already familiar with. And again, if you want to make a comment or ask a question, you feel free to do that. We may be brief about it because of the amount of material that we have to cover, but you feel free to do that. On page 3, the aim of the book. What was the book of John about? So what this point covers. We lose sight of being able to do that when it comes to the Bible. Now, there's books that we know right off what the aim of the book is. You may already know what the aim of John is. But someone says, well, what's the purpose of the book of Acts? What would you say? Yeah, about the church. And so there are books in the Bible that we're very familiar with. What's the book of Genesis about, Paul? Book of beginnings, right? Creation and so forth. But then there are probably a host of books that if someone says, what is the book of Hosea about? Well, we might scratch our head and say, well, let me look. And that's okay. We're not always going to be able to remember everything. But we need to look at the aim of the book, the purpose that this writing is given to us. Some books have direct statements regarding the purpose of the writer, while the purpose of other books are gleaned only through the information given in the book. And what I mean by that is this. You may have a purpose statement in a book that says these writings are because for whatever. This is who it's to. This is what it's for. This is why I'm writing this. And then some books don't always say that. Some books of the Bible, you just have to read the book and study it. And then through a study of the book or reading the book, you come up with a conclusion as to why, well, this is why this book was penned after you've read the book. Some books of the Bible give a statement right up front. This is why I'm writing this. Luke comes to mind when he says that some former ones have taken in hand to write unto thee things which are most surely known among us. And it seemed good unto me, most excellent Theophilus, having had perfect understanding of those things, so forth, he says, to write unto you in order. And so he gives the purpose of his book. Not every book of the Bible does that. Throughout this course, we're going to talk about the theme of this book. And this verse is going to come up over and over and over again in this study. And I do that purposely because you don't need to walk away from this class. In fact, if you go through this class and through this material, you're going to know this. The theme of the book of John. Where is it found at? Who knows? It's right in front of you, too. You know, someone turn to that passage and read it nice and loud for us.
Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name.
Why did He write this message? That we might believe. That's the purpose. And did you notice that it wasn't all the way until chapter 20 that he gave that thesis or that purpose statement of his writings? I'm thankful that he gave it. But again, some books put it up front. I'm thankful for that. That makes it a little bit easier. You know, if I got up to preach a sermon and I didn't tell you what we were going to be talking about until after the sermon or close to the end of the sermon, how would you like that? I'm not saying that's always bad. I'm just saying it's easier to follow for us when it's stated at the beginning, right? Today we're going to talk about whatever but by inspiration, he penned this. He gave the thesis, the purpose statement in chapter 20. But listen, if you read from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 20 and verse 29, you know full well what this book is about because he's presented over and over and over the evidence and the reason why these things are given. Everything, so you need to memorize where that's at. No memory work in this one like the past material I gave you, but you need to memorize that. Everything Jesus did was not recorded as stated in verse 30, as well as chapter 21 and in verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Think about that. Here we have a glimpse. Now we have sufficient writing. All that pertains to life and godliness, everything that God saw fit for us to know, we have right here. But there are other things that we don't know. And we're not going to spend our time and attention on things that are not revealed, but on the things that are revealed. And so these things are written that we might believe. Yet those things that God saw fit to reveal are as I just stated. Romans 10:17, we've already looked at. It's made clear, G, under point 4 of your book, it's made clear by the Lord Himself that except one believes in Him, he cannot be saved. Where's that at? John 25. And folks, we need to, or John chapter 8, verse 24. We need to understand the context of that. Jesus isn't just saying, you need to believe that I roam the earth. You need to believe that there was a man called Jesus. Well, that's important. But the greater gist of that is we must believe that He is the Son of God, the one who was sent from the Father. God desires all men to come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. 1 Timothy 2, 4. The learning of the things contained in John's recording of the gospel will, even to this present day, provide ample evidence of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. And I've put some key words just from the book of John in here for you at the bottom of page 3. And there may be others that come up repeatedly, but these caught my attention as I went through the book. The word Father used 116 times in 21 chapters. Believe 85 times. These things are written that you might believe, and that word is used 85 times. Son, 60. Word, 38. Life, 38. Truth, 22. Light, 16. And there's others that you could add to that list. In concluding the book, John penned, as we've already looked, that there are other things that Jesus did that if every one of them were written, I suppose that not even the world itself could contain the books that should be written. One will do well to commit the time to a study of the gospel account of John, and may these things pointed out in this study strengthen our faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Here's what we're going to do. We've got about 2 minutes left. Next week, we will not have to spend time kind of prepping our study for this class. And so what we'll do is next week we'll begin by a review of those questions from lesson one. Is that fair? Then that way you have time to think about those, to write an answer to those, and on some of them, explain your answer or give a reference that proves your answer. So I want you to be able to prove it, not just answer the question, but justify why you said that answer. And then we'll talk next week after a short review of those questions on answering the question, was Jesus human, divine, or both? It's a study that I've enjoyed putting together, and I've been looking forward to being with you, and I appreciate each and every one of you being here, and I hope that you'll anticipate our study. Make sure that you make use of that material. Mark it up. If you have questions, you be sure to let me know that either before or after the class or briefly during the class. I appreciate your attention.